chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, as we continue our weekly studies at the moment on the subject of the Christian home, and particularly we are looking at emphasising the training of our children, and this is so important to all of us, even if you are single here tonight. These messages are very important for you because you want to enter into married life and home life in God's timing with a biblical mindset concerning the Christian home. And as we mentioned last week, we certainly need to return to the biblical home in the 21st century. We see the whole-scale disintegration, don't we, of the home as we used to know it in our nation, and not just in our nation, in many other places as well. The further we get away from the Bible and the more we loose ourselves from the moorings of Scripture, the more we drift out into the open, rough seas of chaos. And so we want to, as Christians, be distinct in our homes. We do not want to follow the popular philosophies of the day. We want to have a biblical mindset and seek to have homes that glorify the Lord in our day. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll just reread these verses in verses 4 to 9, a very pivotal and important passage concerning the home. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We have that great declaration concerning the person of God. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Notice now verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and so on. Okay, so stop the reading in verse 9. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word to us tonight. We pray you would help us in these brief moments to be instructed in some way concerning your mind on the Christian home. Particularly, we pray that you'd help parents here tonight to just take on board the great responsibility that you have given us in this passage and in other places in the Word of God as well, to instruct and to nurture and train our children in the Word of God. So bless each one tonight. Bless the parents here, Lord. And Father, you know that we face some tremendous challenges in this day, but we thank you that we serve a great God who is able to strengthen us and equip us for the task. So we ask these things now in his precious name. Amen. All right, we spoke last week for a few moments about the importance of developing the heart of the parent for God. And this is the important starting point when it comes to this matter of training our children in the Word of God. As we mentioned last week, it is very important that a teacher believe in the subject that they teach, and that they be properly prepared to teach that subject. We understand this in the secular realm. If you have a teacher who is wishy-washy in their preparation, half-hearted in their commitment to the subject they teach, then the results will be reflected very often in the classroom. It's very hard for the student to rise above the level of their teacher. The same applies in the church. And if the pastor is half-hearted and lazy about the things of God, then it is very hard then for the people to rise above that as well. Now, of course, there can be exceptions with God's grace, but as a general rule, that influence, principle of influence is there in the authority. And so it is in the home. If we want our children to accept the Word of God and to obey the Word of God and to pursue the Christian life, then we need, as parents, to be sober-minded and serious about modelling the Christian life to the best of our ability and being committed to God and his word. And so that's what we looked at last week. I just want to recap a little bit and give you a few other thoughts here, that we need as parents to have a heart for God and his word. And these two things are linked inseparably together. We talked about that, verse 5. It talks about loving God, the Lord God, with all of our heart. soul and might. That speaks of someone who has a hunger, a thirst, and a passion for God. And then in verse 6, that God wants the word of God to find a place in the parent's heart. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And as we do that, we are then in a good position to be a blessing in the lives of our family. So if we're going to have that outflow into the lives of our children, if we're going to have homes that are full of the word of God, then it is the vital qualification is here before us as parents, if we're going to be that type of influence in our homes. So this is what precedes the teaching role of verse 7 and 9. And it is the vital qualification for the training of our children. Okay. So love for God should find expression in love for and obedience to his word. When we talk about the word being in the heart, it speaks of one who has saturated himself in the word of God, and it speaks of somebody who is committed on a deep level to the word of God. And this is so important that as parents we demonstrate at least a desire to be obedient to the Lord in every area. We understand as parents that we are not perfect, but as far as the whole attitude of our lives, we are seeking to be obedient to the Lord and to his word. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, love and truth connected. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is one of the main things we try and instill into our children? Obedience. Well, children need to see an obedient spirit in the heart and life of the parent. Okay, if the parent is resisting the word of God in any particular area or rebelling against a particular command of scripture, then that is going to undermine the influence of the word of God in the child's life. So we need to be in submission in every area of our lives as best we can, keeping that our hearts open before the Lord, softness of heart, and allowing the Lord to reveal things to us where perhaps we need to be more obedient, or maybe there's an area in our lives that needs to be brought into conformity with his will. But our attitude of life is, Lord, I just want to be obedient to you. My heart's open to you. If you show me something, even if it's difficult, I'm going to seek to be obedient. I like what C.H. McIntosh says about this, and if you can ever get his four or five volume set on the Pentateuch, you'll find them a great blessing. He says, every true lover of God will treasure up his word in the heart. And where the word is thus lovingly treasured in the heart, its hallowed influence will be seen in the whole life, character and conduct. He says, God's object in giving his word is that it may govern our conduct, form our character and shape our way. And if his word has not this practical effect upon us, it is utterly vain for us to speak of loving him. Yea, it is nothing short of positive mockery, which he must sooner or later resent. Very, very powerful quote and very true. Okay, if we say we love God, but in practice demonstrate very little obedience to God and his word, then we make a mockery of the very thing that we claim to be. Now there are some other, so we see from this that it's that true education as far as the children are concerned must start in the heart of the parent, and then it's to have that blessed outflow into the home in verse 7 through 9. Now, I'd like to just give you a few other verses that show a similar connection between the relationship of the parent with God and the blessing that flows onto the children. Psalm 112 verses 1 and 2, you might like to write that reference down. It says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. So, awe, reverence and respect for God, great delight, that's speaking of the love again, isn't it? Love for the commandments, love for the word of God. And then notice the blessing to the family that comes out of this. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. See the connection there again between the parent's relationship with God and the blessing that it then transmits to the offspring. Now, we know that in time our children have to come to make their own decision for the Lord, and we want that. They're not robots, and they have to choose for Christ themselves. But there is the Bible makes it very clear that when the parent seeks after God and walks with God and hungers and thirsts for God, that there is a blessing that is transmitted down to the children. And this is so important. So for those who fear the Lord, they have that reverence for God and respect for God. They delight greatly in his commandments. There's, again, that love for the word of God. Then we can expect a certain measure of blessing to come upon the children. I love these verses in Isaiah 44:3-5. Write these down as well. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. See the connection again? Here's just describing somebody who has a thirst for God, and as this individual thirsts for God, God promises blessing, and then he promises that there will be blessing then upon the seed as well. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Here's the children now. Listen, one shall say, I'm the Lord's. That's what we want, don't we? We want our children to say, I'm the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. See again the connection between the parental hunger and thirst for God and then the blessing that is passed down upon the children. So this is a very key principle, and really a foundational principle. One of the best things we can do for our children is pursue the Lord. Love the Lord with all of our strength. Demonstrate that love by practical obedience. Let our children see, even, us make changes where God reveals something to us where we've been disobedient. Disobedience to the word of God in a certain area of our lives, because that's a little idle in front of our children, because that'll bring terrible, destructive patterns into their own lives. So, parents, we need to have this hunger and this thirst for God. Wouldn't that be a great thing if our children could grow up and say, look, Mum and Dad weren't perfect, but they loved God. They were just totally sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will have a powerful influence in itself upon your children. And so we see really the whole picture here is of a parent whose inner life is full of love for the Lord and full of the Word of God. And then from that reservoir of truth, we're then to flow out into the lives of our children. Okay, so it's going to be hard to flow out what you're not putting in, okay? We need to seek to be conduits, okay? I pray that often in my pastoral role. The Lord just used me as a channel. I want to be a channel of blessing, and so it is for you as a parent in the home. And you've got just to be, you must be in the Word of God for yourself. So, some practical suggestions now to parents. I want to be both theological and practical in these lessons. In other words, we want to delve into the Scriptures, but then I just want to share my heart, give you some practical suggestions. It's not to give you a rule book, but to try and stimulate your thinking about ways in which you can do this. So, parents, we need to establish regular daily devotions in prayer and Bible reading. Okay, we say that's so basic. Well, very often it's the basics that get missed or neglected in our lives. Okay, if we want our children to grow up, to develop a walk with God, we need to be walking with God ourselves. Try and read through the Bible, if you can, at least once a year. Sometimes we need to adjust, maybe, the way we do our devotion. Sometimes we can get into a bit of a rut. Something I've just started doing recently, rather than trying to read by chapter, I read by page. So I've looked at how many total pages I had in the whole Bible, which is about 600 and something in the Old Testament and a couple of hundred in the New, added them together, worked out my goal for when I'd like to complete the Bible by, and then divided it out and worked out then how many pages front and back I needed to read a day. For me personally, it's just been a refreshing change, okay? Because sometimes you approach it by chapter and you've got short chapters and then long chapters, and if you try and do maybe four chapters a day, you might get to a very long book with long chapters and you get bogged down. So if you look at it as far as pages go, it really makes it seem very achievable. And I got that idea off Brother Danny Olmsted. He's got a very good, consistent walk with the Lord daily, and can learn some things from him. And that was the way he approached it. I think he said it was 3 or 4 pages double-sided. If you read that every day, you will complete the Bible in just under a year. Now, I'm aiming to do mine in 2 months, okay? So I've worked out if I can do 10 pages, that's both sides, a day, I will get through the Bible in 2 months. Now, it sounds like a lot, but if you split that then between morning and evening, 5 pages double-sided in the morning, 5 pages double-sided at night, it's actually quite doable. Now, there's been a few days I haven't succeeded, but I'm getting through a good amount of scripture. So, again, you can develop your own ways of doing things, but parents, try and have we need to have those regular times in the Word of God. Now, if you're a mother with young babies, you're going to have a very fragmented day. It's hard to fit children into little blocks of time, okay? So you need to be somewhat creative in the way you have your devotions. You might need to, rather than aiming for one big long one early in the morning, which may not be possible because you've been up for 5 hours the night before, learn to crack open the Bible several times during the day. So Bub goes down for the 2 hour sleep in the afternoon, have a half an hour reading then, and then have your rest or whatever. So just, and my wife's good with this. She's always cracking her Bible open in spare times throughout the day, and I'm greatly encouraged by that. So, but we need to have that established routine of being in the Word of God. Then we need to establish good study habits. Okay, it'd be good to have a Bible dictionary or something that'll aid you in understanding Bible words. Have something there with your Bible that you can just refer to quickly and make a study of the Bible words so that you can, because again, you're a teacher, remember? The Bible's dealing with you as the parent. You're the educator in your home. You're the teacher, and you need to be properly qualified to teach, okay? Listen to good sermons by reputable men of God. Here's a novel idea. You might even re-listen to some of your pastor's sermons from your own local church, okay? We seek, by God's grace, here to feed God's people on the Word of God, and most sermons you don't absorb everything that is taught, particularly when we're doing the in-depth verse-by-verse sort of preaching. Re-listen to those sermons. Take notes. Seize the opportunities when you're driving and things like that to invest in filling your mind with the Word of God. Or find men who are in good reputation for the truth. Be very careful not to get tapped into many others, okay? Because that's one of the biggest problems we're having today. I honestly believe that we should look to the local church that God has placed us in as our primary source of instruction. That's where God has me. That's the man of God he's placed me under. That's the main area I go. That's the main place I look to be instructed in the Word of God. Other things are bonuses on top. But my first priority is to be in under the ministry of the man of God that the Lord has put me under at this time in my life. We need to learn to identify and utilise opportunities we often overlook in our daily lives for saturating our lives in the Word of God. Okay, identify opportunities. Driving is a classic example. If you drive to and from work, that is often time that can be wasted, or you travel in and out of the city. Whatever you do, don't just listen. You know, you might want to catch up on the news occasionally, but rather than just endless amounts of media input, you might like to use that time to listen to the Word of God on audio or listen to good sermons. Be in the house of God whenever the doors are open, and be diligent in paying attention to the preaching and teaching ministry of God's Word. By the looks of some, on some Sundays, you wonder whether they've probably been up the night before, so I understand. But parents, we don't want to be on our phones. I've got mine up here tonight to keep track of the time so I don't run you too late. But may I suggest that when it comes time for the preaching of God's Word on Sunday, that this be very far away from you, okay, or off. Okay, we live in a crazy day where people are browsing things before the service, or something's just been posted. I mean, you're not in a frame of mind conducive to really giving proper attention to the Word of God. We have too much of this. In fact, I would even suggest you be a little bit radical and try and have almost a phone-free day on a Sunday. Respect the Lord's Day. Set aside one day. Have a break from it. You might have to communicate with someone a little bit here and there, but keep it to a minimum. Don't be browsing endlessly on social media and things like that. This is really intriguing. How many of you have heard of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist? Hey, most of you have. Let's listen to what he wrote in the late 1800s about the Sunday newspaper. I mean, he just went to town on the Sunday newspaper, and he's just appalling the lack of respect for the Lord's Day. I wonder what he would say today if he saw all of us on our phones on a Sunday. He says, concerning the Sunday newspaper in 1896, the contents of the papers make them unfit for reading any day, not to say Sunday. Some New York dailies advertise Sunday editions of 60 pages, he says. He's shocked. Many dirty pieces of scandal in this and other countries are raked up and put into them. 8 pages of fun. That is splendid reading for Sunday, isn't it? Even when a so-called sermon is printed, he says, which they used to do back then, it is completely buried by the fiction and news matter. It is time that ministers went into their pulpits and preached against Sunday newspapers, and if they haven't done it already. Now listen to this. Put the man in the scales that buys and reads Sunday papers. After reading them for 2 or 3 hours, he might go and hear the best sermon in the world, but you couldn't preach anything into him. His mind is filled up with what he has read, and there is no room for thoughts of God. He says, I believe that the Archangel Gabriel himself could not make an impression on an audience that has its head full of such trash. He says, if you bored a hole into a man's head, you could not inject any thoughts of God and heaven. Now, in this series, I'm going to say some hard things, because I think we need to challenge as parents the status quo in our day. I really do. We need to be prepared to break, just to break out to the right and be different. And just as Christians, we need a revival of Christian culture. I really believe that. Now, I'm not against technology, you know that. But on the Lord's Day, let's have the phones away when it comes time for church. If you're a parent, what sort of example are you setting for your family? If they see you doodling around on the iPads and emails, what are you doing on those things in the Lord's house? Or worse still, giving your child the phone to play with and play games during the preaching of the Word of God. And is it any wonder that people remain unchanged in the Church of God, that Word of God makes no dent upon them? And I think that this is largely, sadly, it's the saturation of ungodly media that is making our people unreceptive to the Word of God. And they come to church with heads full of Facebook posts, bad pictures, gossip, fluff, rubbish, TV, violent video games. The list just goes on and on and on. And I just wonder what someone like D.L. Moody would say today if he was preaching so hard. I mean, if we read the Sunday newspaper from 1896, we'd probably think it was godly compared to what we see today. So let me encourage you, all right? If you have to have your phone for some reason to communicate or whatever, I understand that sometimes we have to, but try and keep it to a bare minimum. Don't be browsing endlessly on the internet, social media, all those things on the Lord's Day. Set the Lord's Day aside to just focus on the Lord and His Word, and throughout the week too even, just set aside times of quiet where you can focus on the Lord. So, all of this is coming from a heart to help you as parents and myself as well. Please understand when hard things are said at times from the pulpit, it's from a heart of love. And I'm burdened greatly for the parents in this church. I pray for you regularly, pray for your children as well by name as your pastor, and I'm totally just behind you, and I want to help you in every way I can. But this is just some things I see. I think we need to, as parents, just break a bit with the endless media culture in our day and just be prepared to be a bit different and to respect the Lord's Day, respect the house of God, and put aside the media when we come into the house of God, okay? Laughing over little things and on the phones and all of that. It's really a profanity, and it just reveals a shallowness, and it's just, we need to get back to old-fashioned Christian living. All right, so that's just a little bit of a recap on the importance as parents of cultivating a heart for God. And I do want to get on to the educating of our children, which we will do next week, but I just felt I would like to just recap a little bit there, give you a few more verses and some thoughts. And Lord willing, in our next lesson, we will look at the verses 7 through 9 of this passage, and specifically now on the key principles the Bible gives us for training our children. But again, I impress upon you, I don't want to rush this. It starts with you, mother, father, your own walk with God, your commitment to the Word of God, your love for the things of God, that love and that passion for God reflected in your priorities, reflected in your actions and your attitudes. And just that alone will be a powerful blessing in the lives and of your children. So, a heart for God, a heart for His Word. If you love God for who He is, you will love Him for what He says. Both things go together. And that's what we want in our lives. That's our qualification. If we're going to be an effective teacher in our homes, particularly in the lives of our children, we must be committed to our subject. We must love our subject that we are to teach. All right, we'll hold it there and we'll break up.